Mesela baktım anladım. Ben de biraz resim olama kaldım. Bilin de dedi geçecek. O başlıkta.
Thank you, Jefferson. My name is Kevin Lamathan. I'm the Group Executive at Regulatory Affairs and Administration at Telcom. We thank the committee for affording us an opportunity to present today. What we would like the committee to take home is that school connectivity should not be viewed in isolation. It should at all times be thought of as one of the central pillars for driving the SA Connect. And that school connectivity should form part of the demand that needs to be aggregated. So that as operators, we're not only delivering school connectivity as part of our obligation or as part of CSI, but we see it broadly as one of the segments of delivering SA Connect. And therefore, Chair, as my colleague, Mr. Kunene is no longer taking through the presentation, would like that as we go forward, we always remember that school connectivity is just one aspect of rolling up SA Connect and should be read within that context and within the context of aggregating broadband demand. Thank you, shall give over to Mr. Kunene.
Chairperson, industry, colleagues, the Honourable Deputy Minister, thank you very much. I think our presentation today is very focused on the case study of...
Before you start, the first is introduction who you are and the entire decision.
Apologies. My name is Isaac Kunene. I am the Managing Executive for Public Services at Telcom.
Morning, Chairperson, Co-Chairperson, and members. My name is Buna Manongoko. I'm the Executive Stakeholder Management and Organization.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Cesari. My name is Nefera. I'm the Executive for Services and Project Management.
Good morning, Honourable Members and Chair. This is Common Leader, John Bradley, with the Regulated Telecom Policy Agent.
Can you
proceed? Our focus today is going to be around a case study of the 1,750 that we connected and launched in March of the year. Basically, what we main focus on is that the colleague Lula Mawil just gave a brief introduction in terms of how we go about this.
Thank you, Chairperson. The slide that I will be focusing on, Chairperson, before Mr. Nene then uses the case study, is the slide looking at the CSI. As well as E-rate, I'm not long because the slide itself is not explanatory, but I think I'll just touch on two key points around each. With the Telcom Foundation, one of the key core areas is the focus on education and specifically around school connectivity. And the 150 schools project is one of the projects that they engaged in. But looking forward, which is something that is not on the slide, is that there's a realization that connectivity can also be used in order to ensure that skills, for example, your nurses and some teachers that are not in the school, that is a possibility to share and that resource. And in that regard, one of the projects that they're going to be focusing on is the virtual school, or sorry, the virtual teacher program, which will ensure that the schools that are connected are able to share the skills and resources around teachers and nurses. So that, I think, the one point that I'll...
Can we get the technical? Otherwise,
everybody
doesn't become more
visible. So the virtual teacher program. So I will not touch on that change to say that it is the kind of project that then ensures that resources are shared by schools who otherwise do not have your math and science teacher. And then, Chair, the next project that I would just like to touch on is tablet project again, the details are there. But what I want to speak to with respect to that project is that the answer that we found in the project, in the monitoring and evaluation that we've been doing, and we've been doing quarterly evaluation on that, is that the benefit of tablets is the mobility, where teachers have now been able to tell us that they're able to do work at home using the tablets, but the project also involves teachers getting tablets that they would be able to take home. So I think that is one of the things that we need to look at around mobility, that what are the benefits of mobility when it comes to these kind of projects. And the other key point that I'd like to mention, Chair, is you can note that we gave Q1 X for 24 months. It ended in December 2014, and we've been engaging with the district office to see how it is possible that this can be carried on and forward once Telkom is no longer in the project. With respect to e-rate chain, I think the two points that I want to make around there is the fact that one of the challenges that we've found is that as much as e-rate is intended to assist schools to get the discount, challenges of schools who do not have funds allocated for connectivity, who are connected, is that they do not get the benefit of e-rate. So I think that is one of the things that maybe Department of Education could be looking at for us, because you will see that Telkom has assisted close to 3,000 schools to connect to e-rate, but the step that we have is that many of these schools are no longer getting that benefit because they do not have funds, because you only get the 50% if you have funds in order to carry with paying for the services that you are receiving. So with that, chair, I'll turn over to Anthony.
Thank you, Lulama. So I'll just delve into the school connectivity project that we run on. Rico basically did out in partnership with the Department of Communications and the Department of Education. And of course, the funding was secured through savings of the 2010 FIFA World Cup related project. And we signed the contract in 2012. This was a tripartite between Telkom, DOC, DVD, and of course the nine of the provincial level department. Second level of value, the contracted amount was 324.2 million, 307 million was set aside for connectivity, and 24 million was allocated to the end user devices and then connectivity. We embarked on this and used different media of access to connectivity. Looking at solutions like business, ASL, and research technology. So in terms of scope, again, we look at what LAFE networks, the internet access, and a solution to host the hosting for the solution, rather. We also connected 48,000 mailboxes so that the users have got access to email. Just in terms of the end user devices, we had a mobile traffic trolley for 1,250 schools, 20 laptops for schools at the school, and two wireless access points, and a small printer. More importantly, it tells me that you know, the end user devices and connectivity are important, but the most important aspect is around the data management solution. This can be found in the DVD cloud log there. Just in terms of the implementation, phase one was connectivity to 1,650 schools, broken up into 125 United schools and 1,525, which were the proof of concept. As I said earlier on, this was obviously as a result of the savings derived from 2010 World Cup. Phase two of that, which focus was not involved in, would look at the level of service obligation. So, just to, look at the solution itself, it's connectivity with hardware, and then there's a link where we look at the training, because it cannot happen. You can't have teachers both connected and as well as the training that is into that. A lot of this is repetition. I'm going to skip it just to focus on what we are spending a lot of time driving at home. As I said, connectivity and hardware is a means to access quality for teaching and learning. In conjunction with our partner, PDA and DPS, we are developing an educational portal, which is a learner management system. The portal will provide access to educational content for learners, and the LMS will be an online tool for interacting relationships between learners and teachers. unfortunately, the LMS is being developed for four environments. The main environment, which is access to the content, the teacher section, which looks at evaluations and all of the other stuff, and then the parents and the school administrators would all be able to agree to that. I'd like to say that at the moment, we are focusing on the learner side or the learner portion of the LMS, which is at a very advanced stage, and I think we'll be changing soon. Just in terms of future plans, some of the things that we've learned from this is that there's a need for the development of norms and standards we have built upon with the Department of Education. And we also want to expand the 1,768 to cover the rest of the 20,000 student populations. And finally, I'd like to focus on the lessons learned from the project. We found that if there is no change in scope up front, you're likely to encounter challenges in terms of what it is that is the expected outcome. There's also the issue around dangerous limitations. That's been gleaned from the project that we've been involved in. Normally, the standard for education solution, we feel that there's a need to create the norm standards so that whatever solution is deployed by different entities link up to one education or e-education initiative. We also learned a lot about cost-effective options. You know, really new in this space, but we learned that there are ways around the change of you know, deploying cost-effective options. The issue around training is very, very important. If the training is not done upfront, you are likely to have issues around adoption, because we feel that sometimes if the teachers are not comfortable with the training, they will not be able to get adoption. The health care and support issues are very, very important as well after implementation. Just to create sustainability going forward. Change management is well very, very important. We believe that the change management aspect needs to actually be done before the implementation happens. And the case with the current contract that we have, the post-conference of commercials are very, very important. Again, this talks to sustainability. At the end of the 2-year period, what then happens? Is the question that we ask. And again, there are issues again around entry for more players in the space. And we also learned that there's also a space for local development and job creation from that project. With that, I think.
Thank you very much for the presentation. We're going to go over to Vodacom. I'll give that to the CEO, co-CEO, Mr. Shamil Chusaf, who is leading the delegation.
Honourable Chairs, Honourable Members, colleagues, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity, guests, to be able to present to you today. My name is Shamil Chusaf, I'm the Group CEO of Vodacom, and I'll let the members of my team introduce themselves.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Yabela Fani. I'm the project manager responsible for the rollout of the obligation.
For the Honourable Chair and Members, my name is Makula. I'm responsible for Parliamentary Government Affairs.
My name is Honourable Chair and I'm Temba Kinana. I'm the Managing Executive for the Government Relations for the COP. Thank you.
Hello, Honourable Members. My name is Thabo Kisango. I'm a regulatory advisor at Vodacom.
Thank you. Okay, just to give a little bit of context, I'm going to talk about a little bit about the broadband policy targets first, and then move into the schools and activity project specifically. I think the long-range policy targets that have been set, Chair, are very ambitious targets, especially when we compare to targets around the world. Having said that, we believe that at Vodacom that we need to align our objectives closely with government and help to achieve these goals and these targets. So we move past the point of debating whether it's achievable or not, but rather asking the question of ourselves of how we're going to achieve it. We'd also like to basically invite the different members of the industry and the Department of Basic Education to work with us in helping to achieve these goals. I also venture to say that I think it's extremely important for us, Honourable Chair, to have a what I call an infrastructure planning committee if we are going to be able to achieve these targets. Now, can we go back to the broader policy targets now? And basically focus on making sure that we can achieve these objectives. And I think we need to plan each year of exactly how we're going to achieve the objectives, specifically around school as we go forward. If we look at what are the areas that we're focusing on, I think it's firstly how do we provide access to all and how do we provide connectivity, because I think before we can connect to schools, we need to make sure that there's connectivity in the area in general. The second thing is we need to ensure that we're delivering the right feeds, as you said, in the government policy, and lastly, affordability and how we make the service affordable to all. Chair, firstly, on a Vodacom has been investing quite aggressively. This year we've spent close to 9 billion rand in infrastructure in South Africa, including acquisitions, and proposed acquisition of Neotel. We'll spend close to 17 billion rand this year in investment in South Africa. And really the focus on this is to make sure that what we want to do is to be able to achieve the broadband objectives, but also to make sure that we can provide data where we have voice. Today, Chair, we're currently sitting on 90% 3G coverage. Within the next 2 years, we will have covered, or next 18 months, we will get to close to 100% coverage. Today, in 2G coverage, we're sitting at 99.9%. We've also announced that we'll be investing aggressively in fiber to the home and fiber to the business. Why this is important is it serves as the backbone for wireless coverage. We also need to make sure that we have a big fiber footprint, and we're working with various players in the industry to build out that fiber network. We will have 84% of our sites covered with high-speed transmission and fiber by the end of this year. We currently have more than close to 1,800 sites already live on 4G, with 32% coverage in the 4G LTE space, which obviously achieves a higher speed. We've also renewed our entire network to what we call single band technology, which makes it possible for us to almost launch 4G overnight and be able to achieve the coverage target set up. The stumbling block for us is availability of spectrum and also building out more fiber. And, you know, I think as spectrum becomes available, our ability to deliver on this target become a lot more achievable. So if we move on to affordability, the prices on data have dropped significantly from where they were when we launched 3G in 2004. So 10 years later, it's a fraction of the price. It's a gig used to cost 600 rand, it now costs 59 rand. It's now one-tenth of the price than it was when we launched data or 3G 10 years ago. The prices are now very comparable internationally. Our data prices, I think, stack up very favorably. What we've also done is introduce new tariffs where you can add more end-to-mouth consumption, and for 3 rand you can get 50 meg, and we've launched that specifically in the rural areas to drive up connectivity. Vodacom today has close to 80 million customers using or accessing the internet via cell phone or tablet. We're also working aggressively to drive down the cost of smartphones. We now have tablets of under 1,000 rand that has been specifically created for the African market. And we are also driving down the cost of smartphones, and you have smartphones now for under 600 rand, which are high, which are good quality phones. And I think we have to continuously work on reducing the barrier to entry if we're going to achieve it. This also helps to drive on the cost of devices that will be used in the school connectivity program. If we then move on to the school connectivity program specifically, I think the advent of obligations for the awarding of spectrum and licenses has proven to be successful. In 1994, we were asked to build 2,200 community service phones. By the time we were finished with it, we had built over 40,000 community service phones. And I think, so the approach that Vodacom takes is to say, you know, how do you take the obligation and go beyond and actually address it? In 2005, we were given the obligation of the 2005 obligations. I'd say probably one of the issues that we had is as they currently, we didn't finalize the schools quick enough, and probably one of the things or learning that we should take away from the exercise. Having said that, you know, the principle of awarding licenses and attaching obligations to it has proven to be a very successful model in South Africa, and definitely something that we should consider going forward, specifically if we want to deliver the broadband goals within the time frame that has been set. What we decided to do was instead to go ahead whilst we were waiting for the schools to be approved and also take some of our investment or a large portion of our investment that we made in the foundation. So we spent close to 100 million rand again in the foundation now, through the Vodacom Foundation, outside of the obligations. We decided to channel a large part of that money towards schools connectivity. We're very proud of our association with the Department of Basic Education and the successes that we've achieved in connecting the schools. What we've already accomplished is that we've already connected 893 schools with the full computer solutions that have been shown by the various departments earlier this morning. We've already invested 89 million rand into it, but what we realized that as we're connecting the schools, that's correct, but who's training the teachers? So together with the department, we built the pilot projects one in each province. We then went on to take over 40 teacher training centers, and our intention as we go, as the obligations have now been finalized, is to redirect the rest of the money to complete all and to take and to ensure that we're providing the connectivity and running of all the teacher training centers in the country. And we will do that together with the department. I think the challenges that we face, I'd say the challenges really, and probably learning for us as we go forward, is that we need to move quickly to identify the beneficiaries, the schools, and really move quickly to implementation plan. So I'd say, you know, a project planning and project management from the different departments is extremely important in projects of this type. But now that we've finalized it, I think, you know, we've got the necessary gas in the tank, and things are starting to move quite quickly. And so we've been given the obligations of having to connect 1,300 schools. We've allocated a budget of 200 million towards it. The obligations say they have to do it in 5 years. But in our approach, we will do it within the next 24 to 36 months. The full 1,300 schools will be connected on the blockchain. So we will move quite fast in it, and we will continue to utilize our foundation, and part of the year project would be to connect, to continue to connect and take on the teacher training centers as I explained, but also to help with the type of content that's been shared, and making sure that we have the right content available for students as we go forward. And that's where we will be directing our energies outside of connecting the schools. I'll ask now hand over to Sir Bolle, who will take us through the dialogue.
Thanks, Samuel. Another chair, a quick one, to ensure that
you open your hand, your mind off, so that everyone is audio.
To ensure that from outside as well, I'm going to comply and meet the target and the Shamil and Dr. Head of 2 to 3 years. To also have the fact that it's tied to the managed project approach to the obligations. And these are the highlighted timelines that actually we're going on. And our approach has been very much consultative that you would see. That what we have done when the obligations were identified on the 4th of June, we started to receive a list from the council, which actually bound with the provinces, just to mitigate some of the challenges experienced previously, where you come in the province and find the schools that exist, that actually have been left. So we are actually with the province to ensure that the schools are ready to receive the equipment to deploy there. And we're doing that as well for the community in our own internal supply chain process, so that we are able to control as well, as soon as possible, to meet our target of 24 to 26 months. So that process has actually been finalized on the supply chain process. We've procured the equipment for the extra 50 schools, which we aim to make sure that by the end of this financial year, they are to be deployed as their functioning connections. So as we're doing that as well, we are engaging the provincial government as well to ensure they are putting in place to support the rollout at that level and also to buy in into this, which ensures sustainability of the evolutionary approach as well. So that cross-engagement with the provincial government, the level of MECs, of Department of Education, HODs, and social services, it is actually ongoing. So we are ongoing with that process as well. And the rollout schedules, we have put them in place. Okay, this is how the rollout schedule is going to be actually look like. And the stakeholders actually, they will involve very much Department of Education, so they are able to monitor and obtain the solution for deployment. So those rollout schedules, again, are tied together with the process as well. We already have a determined installation date. From our side as well, we're ready to commence with the installation towards the end of September. However, there are engagements with the firefighters in time and several times. Because before we roll out on Japan, we need to align amongst ourselves. However, those discussions are actually taking place. So that's basically a certain high level timeline in terms of how one roll out this. Also, lastly, as we try to implement and make sure that the construction is sustainable and also to be supported going forward, what we have identified together with the provinces that we engage is that there are stakeholders that are very key in terms of signing handover, which means that the school must be able to sign off and accept the solution. Also, the district, from an IT perspective, need to provide someone who technically can look at the solution and say, this solution should be supported by the department, go ahead with it. Also, what I want to support that we need to satisfy ourselves that the solution that is deployed there meets our standards. And also, lastly, we need to that the people who have the implementation as well, own up to the implementation as well. So those are the 4 key stakeholders that are very key from our side to ensure that whatever we deploy is sustainable going forward. And then, last, there are 6 steps that are proposed in terms of handover of your school, that upon deployment of this solution, we need a minimum of 3 people from the school to say that they actually have work. We're assuming that people know how to switch on the tablet, so we can use the printer. So that training will provide a post deployment immediately to school to ensure the same educators at the school in terms of how to operate the tablet. So they should do that from the type of student initiative that they must look for. That's the first step. The second step is actually where we have all stakeholders that have managed up there, finding on and accepting each school, which talks to the right quantity of documents that we have accepted, the equipment is received in good order, is that work as well, also making sure that the training is in place, the kind of the training administration that is right in school, and then there's access to the internet. It's defined by the obligation that there should be unlimited access to the phone center. That's part of the accessible criteria that we set up as well on our side. And then we hand over to each school a detailed training manual, just to make sure that whatever they experience, they are able to carry on with the same information. So that is basically our approach for the time.
Thank you very much to the team Vodacom for the presentation. Shall we request the team from Neotel to go through their presentation as well? It will be followed by Dalsis and Jim.
Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. My name is Tracy Cohen. I'm the Chief of Corporate Services at NEOCA. So I'd like to get set up. I'll ask the other two members of my delegation to please introduce themselves.
honourable chairpersons, honourable members, deputy minister and industry members, my name is Clarence Fair, I'm the manager for special projects.
Good morning, chairpersons, honourable members, deputy minister. My name is Daniel Bowman, responsible for government liaison at NETA.
Thank you very much, chairperson. Some of this stuff I think has been covered by the other operators, and I think it's very helpful for the council to set up a framework. So I won't run through everything. We've put a lot more into the slides and narrative, which I know the comments have read. I won't run through the history of Neotel. People often think we didn't provide the answer to Telkom when we got the license, and I don't misunderstand exactly what it is we do, and I'm hoping that some of what we talk about today, particularly in the education space, will be of interest. But effectively, we're a company of 5,000 employees at the moment, and I think that the investment numbers that are coming up for infrastructure roadout are quite interesting, because when you look at Neotel investment capex for the next year of around 500 million, you start to see it in the context in which the company is operating. The mandate for school connectivity effectively came from the 50th license to Neotel was granted in 2005, although operations really only happened from about 2007 onwards. There were two sets of obligations that were given. I won't cover the one, but one was around network coverage, and then the other one around universal service obligations, which in summary was to connect 2,500 public schools and EBTs and 2,500 rural public clinics and public hospitals. There is a long history around why this has not been implemented, and the implementation challenges have effectively been with us since inception. Despite Neotel's continued expression and its commitment to meet the license obligation, we did not have an implementation plan approved. At that time, the implementation plan had to be approved by a joint committee of the Council, Department of Basic Education, and Department of Health. We could not go about without the implementation plan, so submitted an alternative implementation plan. This coincided at about the time that the council started to revise the regulations on universal service and access, and quite sensibly set out, well, wait until those have been streamlined, and then we'll look at the case of Neotel. As we know, those regs have been revised, and we have the number of schools set out for connectivity, which the council alluded to, 750 schools in Neotel. And that also includes 140 odd schools for people with disabilities, and obviously the additional hardware requirements. We are also in consultations with the CASA around addressing other implementation challenges we have, because we do not have a fully national network. So some of the schools on the list that we received we're not able to reach currently at this point, but we're working around that. Interestingly, the new regulations obviously only deal with schools at this time, but we still have the obligation to connect healthcare facilities. I should pause at this moment just to add that when we did engage with the Department of Health on this, we were told that there are not 2,500 rural clinics in the country. So the license was amended to include public healthcare facilities rather than just rural public facilities, healthcare facilities. Because we couldn't review anything on our rollout obligations, Neotel then took on a number of projects from a purely state-wide perspective. I won't go through all of them here, but they have been fairly significant given the size of the company. The N2 Education Hub, I think, has been a very interesting one, which also aims to improve the teaching capability of the teachers within the school. And we've already, with our partners, deployed over 350 math labs in the pre-state. We've trained 4,000 educators, as well as seeing the results, particularly in the 2013 matric results in Greek State Province, which stood first in math academic performance. We donated math labs. We're now at four. There are 400,000 rand a math lab. We've done one in Craddock, one in Port Europe, which is through school. Also donated to the King's Village in Cardu, in Willowdale. And with Momentum, we'll be doing a math lab in the Northern Cape Province this year as well. And there's also a number of other initiatives we've undertaken with Sanford Zalo and the former Deputy Minister of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, assisting in providing hardware for a ICT lab. I've also listed some of the projects that we're doing in KZN. And then also the internet cafes and multi-purpose centres that we rolled out in the places within our connectivity. We've done 25 of these centres to date, and notably, three of them are operated by people living with disabilities and two operated by women. 21 people are employed from these, and we've trained over 1,500 youth in basic computing. We ran a really exciting school project last year. The winner of the school project won a fully enabled ICT lab. And of all the topics we set in the school project, the one that came up the most was texting and driving. So it was actually on the negative use of ICT, but that was the school one for the project around that. So this continues on the work that we've done also internally within NeoCell, training learners who then get absorbed into the company, training our resellers, which is of course enterprise development, as well as our own internal staff. And all of this is because we haven't really been able to implement the school connectivity obligations that are done under CSI. Our future plans, we're busy securing the amended ICNS license with the CASA, and we'll then get approval from our board for the spend, 2015-2016. Our intention is to connect 300 of the qualifying institutions within our network coverage by the end of 2016. The costs that we have at the moment on the proposed ICT solution from the department, we have looked at around 150 to 250,000 rand per school connection. When we add that up relative to our capex spend, it's just about 40% of our annual capex. So obviously we think that one of the areas that we need to engage in a discussion on as well is the access to the Universal Service and Access Fund, which was also raised. Future plans outside of the obligation is our involvement with Project Isizwe as the premium support partner, which is enabling public Wi-Fi services, which today is connected to 118 schools in Karankua, and are also connecting 8 schools in the Western Cape on high-speed Wi-Fi. I think that Mr. Navalo gave an outline of the CETA Western Cape government project. We are in partnership with them for the next 10 years, and through this network we'll be working together to connect approximately 1,200 schools with high-speed broadband connectivity over the first 3 years, and also deploying about 350-384 Wi-Fi hotspots. I think that covers it for now, and I thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Shall we ask the team from Dolphins, led by the Chief Legal Officer, Graham McKinnon? I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. But I'm not referring to the Chief Minister.
That is correct, Honourable Chair. Thank you very much. Honourable Chair, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, and guests. My name is Graham McKinnon, I'm the Chief Legal Officer of Salty, and I will be giving a presentation. My colleague will introduce himself.
Good morning, Honourable Deputy Minister, Chairperson, and industry colleagues. My name is Harish Kakisar, I'm the Senior Manager of Technical Regulation at Salty.
Thank you. If I could just answer and apologize on behalf of our CEO, who could make it, he does extend his apologies. He really wants to be able to have something that he couldn't avoid. I think at the outset, just to apologize, my slide presentation is 11 slides, but I haven't changed the substance at all. All I'm going to do is address the last slide first. But it's just a change of order, if you wouldn't mind. There's no change of substance at all. We've obviously heard from ICASA and the other industry players about the universal service obligations that were presented in June. And I think that I'd like to first comment and say that I think this committee meeting is a fantastic opportunity. And I really commend the chair for convening it, because I think one of the concerns that we have still see is that, it is a little bit of a piecemeal approach, which may have become evident through the presentation. And I think that as South Africans, we're all committed to one objective, and that is providing connectivity to all of our learners. And I think the point of that is really we want our learners to be able to compete with our country. And I think if we don't provide them with this opportunity, then we may fall behind. So I think the starting point for me is a very positive one, in that everybody here is committed to the same objective. I think we just need to align our position so that we can achieve that objective. But just to say that CALSI is absolutely committed to the process of rolling out connectivity to schools. In terms of the obligations imposed on us in terms of the lack of frequency licenses, we do have a few concerns and we're on discussions with the CONSO about that. But I think that the main issue is really around, as I've alluded to, the sort of ongoing sustainability of the model. In other words, operational support, administrative skills and financing. People have spoken about training. I think that's a critical issue that we need to all consider. So, you know, it's not just us providing the hardware, the connectivity, and then nothing gets done with it. SALTI is in the process of, we've done a two pilots, and there's a preparation phase, similarly to what Vodacom spoke about, just for the committee members to note, you know, you have to run through a receipt of this to schools, you have to obviously do an audit, we have to then see what our network is like in the vicinity of the schools, that includes things like transmission, actual base stations, and all of the relevant network elements that are required to actually provide connectivity. We also then had to do a tender to various equipment vendors, and we're in the process of finalizing those. I would like to say, however, that it's a similar issue that Neocal's trade, that's relative to our time. You know, Vodacom spoke about a 200 million rand budget. That is quite a stretch for a company of the size of Conti. We only have 10% of revenue market share in South Africa in the mobile market. But as I say, we are absolutely committed within our means to participate and drive this project forward. Another sort of anomaly, and I think we spoke about it, is for example, the Department of Education spoke about 24,000 schools, and there's an issue there, for example, around what it means connectivity. They seem to have a definition of what connectivity means there. I think if we can just get a common definition that we all work towards, that would be very helpful. Another point, and it's certainly not a criticism, I think it's just something that I'd like to put forward as a positive comment, is if you look, for example, at what Apple announced this week, they came up with a new payment technology. I don't know if people saw it. I'm not too okay with it, but and they made up a smartwatch. Now, the reason I raise that is in terms of our current universal service obligation, it's a five-year commitment, and there's a very specific specification as to what we have to provide. And the reason I raise that Apple example is the world changes very quickly, especially in our industry and in technology. And I do have concern, we do have concern that there isn't necessarily enough flexibility in what has been specified. And I think we just need to bear that in mind. You know, we actually, it's amazing, there could be something in 3 years' time that none of us have even thought about. That is a much more efficient way of actually getting to the learners. So I think we just need to consider a little bit more flexibility in our approach in order to, because in 5 years we've got the specification with a trolley model, etc., and that may be redundant. And it's already been alluded to, for example, you just spoke about the pilot that we did with MTN. We did on the tender, but actually we were unsuccessful. But I think the finding that I understand it is that they said that the tablet model is a little bit more of a refinement or an advancement from the trolley model that is currently specified. And I think that if we take those learnings and we actually get the results from Isanta and they say, look, you know, this tablet model is actually a better way, that we should be able to take that on board and actually roll that out as an alternative and not be fixed in our approach to exactly how we do it. So I'm very happy with the fact that there's, I think with the new committee, there's a new energy, and we can definitely revisit some of these things in a positive way. My presentation is very heavy in the slide, at least, on the what we call the National Broadband Network, but I'll just quickly go through those slides, and the reason for that, the CEO of Vodacom also spoke about it, and it's also alluded to in the USASA example. I'll speak specifically to the USASA one, where they said that in the pilot that they had, they didn't have connectivity to the one school, so they had to roll out a Wi-Fi solution and expand, etc. Now, the CEO of Vodafone also spoke about it. The first point of this whole thing is that the school's connectivity is the last bit. The first bit is actually having connectivity in these areas. Now, how to achieve that? Because it's particularly important, obviously, to have that connectivity, especially in deep rural areas. In deep rural areas. And the business case, I don't know if committee members know, but for broadband coverage, the business case for advanced technologies like LTE and LTE Plus is a very difficult one. In other words, you can probably build a business case that says you can roll out in urban areas, but to build a national network that covers the whole country, it's a very difficult business case to build. And that's because the data prices have come down. So what we are suggesting at SOLC is to address that, and we're proposing this, and we have proposed it in different forums, is that you have a what's called concept of a national broadband network. And what we believe is that addresses many of the issues that are currently posing problems across the industry. And I'll just as I quickly go through that because the main one that we see is around spectrum and spectrum allocation. So, for example, Ecosa said today that they're working on RCA for the 2600 spectrum. But basically what this model does is that you have one entity that rolls out a network nationally, that the spectrum, the unallocated spectrum, basically provided to this entity. Investors, which includes a wide body of state private state-owned entities, can actually participate. We've got a model which talks about funding debt equity capital structure, and you can also participate by putting other things as equity into the venture, which includes spectrum and existing infrastructure. And this will ensure that 100% of the population coverage is achieved, including underserved. So we have a slide there on the legal setup, the proposal, the ownership and funding, and obviously the management. And I won't go through that in detail, but that's there for committee members to review. But I would just like to sort of focus on a few of the benefits that we believe. Next one. There's a technical rationale. The technical rationale for national broadband is that the spectrum allocation to this entity will be more efficient. So, for example, there are limitations on the current spectrum allocation and the way those that can be applied to future technologies, for example, LTE Plus. So, if you move to the next slide, the spectrum pooling example that we've got there, if you look on the right-hand column of each of those tables, there's a limitation on the maximum download throughput per user with current spectrum allocations. And by pooling those in one entity, the maximum download throughput per user obviously rises almost exponentially, and that will create a much better user experience for all users. The proposal is that holdout clients of the company do not have cash shelters. So in other words, everybody will have access on a wholesale basis to the services provided by the network services provided by the NBN Co. And then operators will compete on a service basis. So the actual rate that the wholesale provider will be able to charge will be regulated by the authorities, by CASA. And that would obviously be a cost-plus basis, so that is an incentive for companies to become investors. And last point is that what's critical here is that as part of the license that would be provided to this entity, you would stipulate that rural rollout has to happen either before, so there's a model which they call the outside-in or the onion approach, where you actually say to the operator, you have to build your network in the rural area first before you can get access to the urban base, where obviously there's more money to be made, and that obviously is very encouraging for the operator to roll out there quickly. Thank you.
Thank you very much to the team. So, shall I get the team from MGN led by the CEO, Mr. Ahmed Farouk, for pronouncing it properly.
excellent. And honourable members and the minister, thank you for having us and having this opportunity. My name is Ahmad Kabul. I'm the CEO of ADN Alpha Theta. Joining me is my some other colleagues who are invited themselves. Honourable members, chairpersons, and the minister, my name is Graham De Vries. I'm the general manager for regulatory affairs at ADN.
Chairpersons and members of the portfolio committee and colleagues, I'm Eric Majman with the ADN Foundation, responsible for the education support.
Honourable chairs and honourable members and colleagues, my name is Cheryl Winkleman. I'm the senior regulatory manager responsible for license obligations.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. MTN is, I would say, 100% South African brand, has adopted among its strategy for the coming 5 years is a very big slogan, actually. It is a fortress steward. It is completely coincide and I would say follow the strategy that South African government is want to follow in the area of ICT. For us, its connectivity to schools is quite an important thing. Definitely would like to bring our youth and our population to this current age that is all about, I would say, connectivity. For us, in order to have that, our network coverage basically, just to give you a sense on it, we're almost moving towards a 100% coverage, and in the coming few years, hopefully between the edge and April, the 3G is at around 5%, and the LTE is at early stages at around 10%. Definitely all our investment plans are focusing around putting a more technology that enables the broadband connectivity. And this will give us just a slight summary of where we are on the different technology across South Africa. And hopefully, we have quite aggressive 2014, 15 coverage plan and basically in terms of the new technology. For us, the roadmap and school connectivity is two options. One is under an obligation on our license, and the other one, which we are very proud of, as well as MDN, at MDN South Africa, and an MDN group, is our corporate social services that goes under the MDN Foundation and will address it. Now, if we talk about our schools, under the first, I would say, we were granted our 3G license, and under our first obligation, so far currently, we've connected 593 schools. And the graph actually, without being going into this field, give us where about these schools are were connected. However, there was, from this process, quite some lessons learned. Mostly, we found out that we need to learn more on how we are going to do such a project. For example, from the SIM cards, we found that almost most of them, actually, are becoming runs and more available in the where we have provided them and the device provided them, and also where it is we find that only very few of these schools are still active, which means unfortunately the purpose we have started the project were are not fulfilled, and as long as we learn from this, I think we can do it better on this forward time. And our current obligation actually we're moving towards install ICT and roll out of ICT in 1,500 schools. MTN has allocated around 257 million rands to deliver this. And technically this will go from laptops, via different devices, smartphones, trolleys, whatever you need in each and every school is implemented. This we need to do with exact coordination with the different departments, DVD and IFPHACA, in terms of us for this rollout to be successful. The target of 1,500 is definitely, I would say we would love to and we work to bring it for sure before the 5 year target. We have small recommendation actually for the new schools and activities around. And for instead of reading all of this, I'll put it in three different steps. The first one is simply the adoption at school. the mindset at school. And hopefully, from the teacher department and the division, is that the quality of the teachers, I think, especially the youth ones, who will adopt and know the technology in order to be able to transfer it to these kids and our pupils. Otherwise, it will be difficult. This is a very important stuff. It's a change of mindset. The second one is we learn about is computers, labs, trolleys, everything can be set. However, how it can be maintained, this is the problem. So part of what we're trying to do is split our budget in between what we call capital investment, and the other part is keep it like have a support contract and maintain the equipment and go and audit the connectivity. We understand there will be vandalism, we understand that there will be some misuse, fine, but at least the basics should be secure. We've seen in several areas, 1 month, 2 months, 6 months after we put a lab, everything is gone. All the computers are there, devices are there, but nothing is working. And the third one, also is important, unfortunately our specialty is only in communication. Content and education content hopefully will be reaching there. It's quite important for our kids and for our youth. So we design, and the Ministry of Education design for them, the desired educational program that should be accessed. And as I mentioned by my colleagues previously, undesirable content should not be reached. Otherwise, I think we're adding a damage. Better not be connected rather than go to undesired kind of content. It's a content from a social interaction. It's a content from knowledge, from schools, from curriculum. It's a knowledge about this world. This way, I think we can bring our students to the level that we want. Besides just talking about connectivity, what do we want them to learn and to practice? Finally, definitely, I'll skip just to show you also what we, I'm proud to say, MTN as a South African company and a South African brand has, I would say, inspired 16 other countries where MTN exists in Africa, because everybody across the globe in Africa where it exists thinks that MTN Foundation is a South African product. We took this disease of foundation, I would say, and put it in other 16 countries. In other countries, if you talk like Liberia now, it's very essential for them, the MTN Foundation. Without going into figures, too much in detail, I have connected the foundation 129 schools between 2003 and 2007, and 65 of our board have dedicated that 65% of our spending from MTN SA Foundation will be dedicated again for education. Finally, there's always some hiccups that will go around. I think we'll talk about it a bit. What are the major obstacles sometimes that we will go around? Again, it's around vandalism that we'll talk about. We sometimes in certain instances to reach a school connected we might need 4 or 5 towers or mats or sometimes fibers. Before the vandalism, I will say, and I will hopefully raise my appeal also for help in this, is the time it takes us to secure permits from the localities to put a tower or to put basically a base station or do a fire. In some instances, it takes about 120 days. Some instances, we never get it right. And this is a big obstacle for all, not only MTN, for all of license operators in order to expand our business. The other one we mentioned, we show pictures of vandalism. I think something we are more engaged with our communities so to protect these assets. Not only is MTN assets, it's assets for hopefully for the public. The last one, not least, definitely we talk about in order to be able to maximize the benefit at a lower cost, for sure we would like to discuss with our regulators to have for us more and more benefit of, I would say, frequency, because this is make it easier for us. There are different bands of frequencies to discuss them with each other, and hopefully we'll be able to secure some of them to help us in rural deployment, and then help us in reach, facilitate the LTE, because it will give a world-class access for our school and our students. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. This comes to the end of all our presentations. And thank you very much to the presenter and the information that has been shared. I'm going to allow my quarter person to check the discussion questions so that it allows me to be able to participate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honourable members, on your behalf, I thank you all the populations for the well informative. I know we're running out of time now, but we've been here almost an hour for our deliberations, discussions, questions. I was very much economic with time. I will tell you really. And in the number of questions, can I restrict you at least four per member so that you don't go on that much. So I will just note 10 so that I will leave them and I will take them in the order. You know what, when interacting these discussions, they were cross-cutting, they'll shoot your questions and be careful and, you know, I know they are all attentive. They will know exactly to whom that question is being posed to. You can even say, who am I posing that question to, but just take them out. But we want the presentation purpose by presentation. Yeah, that's right. Let me start with presentation with everyone is interested to say something on that. Okay. Can I know 10? This will be the comment that I would like. Honourable Shane, let me start with you. Honourable Whatever question. They will know it was here. Honourable Shane? Shin. Oh, I'm baptizing the wrong class. Honourable Shin. Honourable Kirien. Honourable Ngoni. Honourable Mackenzie, Honourable Koza, Honourable Tedesi, Honourable Mpondana, Honourable Majege, Honourable Mokoto. Is there anyone I'm leaving? Oh, okay. Honourable Vasson, Honourable Fons. The best for the place.
This has been a very relieving session today, and it's been wonderful. And I'm thanking the chairperson of the Telecom Committee for taking up my suggestion that we do this, because my feeling was from the previous committee that I was on, which was communications, was that there was a lot of fragmentation in this sector, which is in this program, such as it is. So I'm very pleased that this happened. We've had far too much information today to absorb with all, and I'm sure we've all got a million questions to ask. And I'd also like to thank Asita for the good words he had to say about the Western Cape Education Project, which is $4 million. And I can now see that Asita was a late comer to the arrangement between the Western Cape government and Neotel. And the advantage of that is that every that the lessons learned from the involvement of the Western Cape are rolled out throughout the country. I thought that would be a wonderful achievement. So thank you, teacher, for your involvement there. I wanted to first of all note that my feeling for this is that there is no coherent coordination on the funding model, on the vision, and what the lines of responsibility are. To me, it's horribly, horribly fragmented. And in 10 years since the, International Commission on Information Society, whatever it was called, was formed, very little has actually happened. And I think private enterprise, both in the ICT sector and in comments generally, they become so frustrated by this that they've taken matters into their own hands and then aggravated the disconnect throughout the whole entire program. What I didn't hear at all from any of the presenters today was how this initiative, this school's connection between program run by the Department of Education and Communications and Telecom, is how this all fits into the National Education Collaboration Trust that was launched 3 weeks ago. No one's mentioned that at all. Is there any connection happening, please? Can we have, because otherwise this is just another segmented operation. Obviously there needs to be, it seems like a valuable project. Then also there doesn't seem to be from any coordination or any input for the provinces in formulating whatever this school's connectivity project is. It seems to be a top-down approach. Can you please explain whether there is a lot of negotiations with the provinces? There was a problem I had with the numbers of schools that were connected, and even here we had today presented that there's 26,000 schools and 24,000 schools. So yeah, at that very basic level, we don't know how many schools we're talking about, so let alone what this is all going to cost. For example, USASA has talked here that this year it's told us today that it's going to be doing 15 schools. In the presentation it's made to the committee 4 weeks ago, maybe, that they're doing 10 schools. So this is very basic disconnect. And then you have that ICASA is going to be responsible for implementing 6,000 schools every year for the next 4 years. Yeah, and so there's just no consistency with numbers. And what I'd like to know is any plan to put this all together. Because this National Coordinating Forum, which hasn't met for a couple of years, or since the new government and the parliament came in, can someone please tell me whether there is a coordinated response to get this going? If not, what are we going to do about it? And then we can have please from ICASA talking today here about new universal service obligations to other network providers. Have those regulations been formulated and implemented? Do these other people know that this is coming down, and have they had an opportunity yet to budget for it?
Thank you so much. I don't care.
Sir. 12-minute questions, must I limit myself?
I would like to echo the sentiments and the concerns expressed by Honourable Chin with regards to coordination. And I have an additional concern in that I don't know if we really have the time hits the top. I think we've had some indication from some of the service providers that equipment was analyzed, etc., and that no additional contracts were purchased, etc., which indicates that those initiatives actually came to naught. Now, to what extent will, through the cooperation of the Department of Telecom, will we establish a monitoring team? A monitoring team which will be hands-on, because no plan, and I mean we've had so many plans in the past, no plan will be implemented unless we vigorously manage and monitor activities. So the task teams that will be established, will they in fact develop that very tightly managed one? Because that brings me to my first question to ICASA. It is a concern that it took, and there was an explanation, but there is a concern that it took about 9 years before ICASA would actually try to get hands-on with the universal service obligation. And unless you manage licenses very tightly, how do you award the next license or the next, if you don't have an indication of what the licensee had, or the commitment of the licensee to the previous USO. So I think it took very long, and the issue is, Honourable Shannon asked when the rest of the license holders will receive their obligation. But if we look at the institution, it seems that there could be questions about delivery in many respects. Chair, that brings me to you, Sasa. I'm concerned that we have on the slide 6 some institutions that have been successfully rolled out. But it appears to me that some of the rural provinces, the very remote areas, we have very few instances where they can have a total delivery of 62 on slide 6. Very few are actually in the Eastern Cape, only 6. And I think if we look at those remote provinces, I think you suffer also need to make up to the very serious responsibility. They had a very good presentation, but I think we must get a time management of what is happening. Then, Chair, I think I've covered that. I will withhold my additional question. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Honourable colleague.
Shall I start by appreciating the idea of the program that really it is encouraging girls to take those so-called digital subjects, because in the line of the scheduling that is done through the functional then they are seeing that there are girls who are working there. So it is also possible for them to just make concerns. So it can be expanded and be in a nice scale. So across the board, if I were to check whether there is a tendency that we can't see what we have seen previously, that there will come a person with a dish and install the dish and most house and the school will remain with the dish for over 6 years without anything changed. Then, especially can I check in terms of rural viability across the board as to whether there is any undertaking that you guys, you have to be rural viable, because that is where we really need development, as they say. And that is where we have a lot of people who are so disadvantaged, who could not be able to see any computer or anything that is technologically inclined. Then in terms of distribution, is it also possible for you guys that you can be able to say, if you say you have installed 3 schools in the first place, that we can get information as to where are those schools located, so that when we do our oversight, we can be in a position to go to those schools. The last thing is the question of the Wi-Fi. I got it that there's a 5 years that one of you guys spoke about in terms of providing Wi-Fi. Then what happens after 5 years? Is there any chance to cover after 5 years? Thank you.
Thanks so much. Honorable McKenzie.
Thank you, Cedric. Just a comment first as a politician, let me give a political comment. One of the biggest problems facing our country is inequality, and clearly the digital divide and the persistence of that digital divide is the factor that will perpetuate and compound that problem. So I echo my colleagues in the position that we should be forced into the school rollout, especially in rural areas. What concerns me is the biggest challenge, and I use that word very hesitantly, because the challenge is a problem without a solution. The biggest challenge that we face is a lack of time. And specifically with the rollout of changes in technological changes, somebody gave me one of the for the presentation today.
TVs, their tablets, and also their cell phones, and also their computer, and nothing can play this. So the patient gets reduced. That speaks to the limitation from a doctor. Also was talking about tablet computers. And then I look at this thing, the school connectivity model that has this trolley with all these laptops that look like a Unix mid-range computer. And I look at the tablet, and then I hear Pelson talking about tablets and then talking about the school connectivity model, and I just get completely confused because there doesn't seem to be a unified sense of purpose in the solution that needs to be provided. So as a point of departure, I think the standards, as Pelson talked about that too, there were no norms and standards that could be applied. And really defined. And perhaps that's what we need, and I would welcome comments on that. If we can have one clearly defined scope of the system that we need to roll out to the school. There's a slide presented by the department that talks about object communication proposal services. They talked about the coordination role of the department, and they started with network infrastructure deployment, services provisioning, end-user devices supply, application development, content development, and training provision. I found the progress of that quite interesting, because certainly what I would like to talk about, what I would like to see the process that firstly talks to the content, and then the application, and then the hardware, and then the training, and only then the connectivity of the school. Otherwise, we end up with a situation where we're providing equipment and we're providing materials. We don't seem to have any sort of system that's standardized and that works effectively. There's a lot of confusion that came out of the presentation today. Mr. McKinnon of Celci, I think you hit the nail on the head. I'd like to applaud you for your presentation and the grasp of the concept and the issues based in the school's connectivity, as well as SASA. I think SASA has the Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Usasa and Celci, I think you both hit the nail on the head there. I would certainly like to see the talent as the way forward rolled out. And lastly, that central integration. I'm unsure as to who is ultimately responsible for this project rollout. Is it the department who oversees everything? I've called MTN, Celci, Telcom for your corporate social responsibility initiatives. We seem to be taking the ball and running with it and implementing this. And I applaud you for that. Because without that, I think we would be way behind. I saw there was one slide from the department that said no schools had been connected in the Eastern Cape as a baseline. And then MDN told me in their slide that they've connected 350 schools in the Eastern Cape as part of their CSI or MDN Foundation initiative. So which is it? There seems to be, again, this disruptive approach. So I would like to see somebody stand up and take responsibility first, because it doesn't have to be a complicated process. It can be very simple. Somebody can control the project, somebody can say, this is the norms and standards in sparsely or rapidly evolving technological environment. This is the context. This is the platform that you're going to use, and these are the companies that are going to roll it up in various sectors. I think we would actually get something done, because we don't have the time to waste. Thank you.
Is there another one? No,
the facilities where you have connected also deliver the devices, what are the conditions that you put to make sure that you reduce the rate of breaking? Sometimes are not ingenious. During the process of machine tools, we come across cases whereby they were breaking at school rather than the security. Who did the damage of level for the code if we have to replace or reconnect? And on the distribution and the school connectivity, in our presentation, we only have the numbers and not the actual promises where it's considered. and where there's a problem, you don't have the extra geographic location so that you can do oversight and not just do what you are about. And not only listen to the presentation, whoever shows that there was an activity. And also, we need to know in the area of urban or rural, because we also have a program, and as far as the rural development is concerned, we want to know whether the facility at a particular school was in the rural area or the urban area. And the transformation as well, where we have seen that, we really always, you know, require that we get the breakdown in terms of race and gender, so that we ensure that the transformation processes are being adhered to. You know, sometimes we just get process matters where something has not been done. That's the only time when we know that something was not done accordingly as far as transformation is concerned. And I also observed a pattern in as far as this school is concerned. We have a presentation for Kevin Western Cape. We have, you know, the way or what is the criteria to protect schools or protect the provinces. What do we look at in terms of the connecting or saying schools who are going to protect for whatever children? And the first attempt that we've seen was a presentation here for connectivity and delivery of devices. We can get a sense of how many schools will be connected within which period, like maybe annually, because it cannot be for 5 years before we do oversight. We have to do oversight analysis, so we need to know the breakdown. And they're coming to the training of teachers. What is the duration of training? So we don't have teachers going train on and on at the expense of you know, learners. If you can know how long does the training take.
Thank you so much. Honorable Nkosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. And maybe to start by appreciating the presentation that has been put before us and the efforts that have been taken to ensure that we are able to reach some of the obligations that we have as a country, particularly the sum of providing universal service to all, I would say all, not only schools, because if you empower a school, it means that you empower the nation. So, for me, Chairperson, this matter, I want to say that we have got more than 10 years since our government has prioritized the issue of universal service access in the many agreements and multilateral agreements that government has signed, and the different forums that it has participated in, and even the law and other policies that are there have indicated to what extent that our government prioritizes the importance of developing our people through the ICT. Just without being harsh, I just want to ask one question to the network operators, whether they are really committed to bring the service to our people. The one point that I think I have observed through our presentation is the issue of the bias towards peri-urban and urban areas, which is quite disturbing, Chairperson, because I think the main reason why government said we must use ICT and make sure that everybody has got access to ICT is to ensure that whether you don't have a budget, whether you are not in charge, you are able to be part of the development that are taking place, both in the South Africa and across the world. And we all know that businesses, because most of the network operators are run as business entities for profit organizations, it's not all about profit. If you develop those rural areas, obviously the outcome would be positive for you.
you will get the reward for developing a rural area because you are building a market. So in one area that I think that we must look at in a deeper way, not superficially, because if Neo Bell and Selfie come here and tell us that they are a fraction of Vodacom, and they are not prepared to build a market for themselves, give them the opportunity to build a market, I don't think that we must sympathize with those organizations. Because government has given you the platform to create your own market, and you don't want to use that opportunity. You don't want to put effort to build that market. Because as soon as those miners in the rural area start using the ICT, they are going to buy iPads, they are going to buy data bundles, they are going to connect with us, they will buy laptops, they will be educated. So why are you not committed to develop South Africa, both educationally and to bring even investors? Because those young people will communicate with other people for business purposes to come into South Africa, and you will flourish as businessmen. So I think the person we must really emphasize that. That there is a strong need for us to make sure that we are able to get the network operators to comply with the obligation, because it's not a new obligation. Even though in one of the presentations we have seen that they say that a proclamation was done in June, it's not in June that it was given. It's a new proclamation. That proclamation has long been given in 2008. We got that proclamation, and we got the target of government and the deadline. So I think the networks are playing hide and seek with our citizens. The other point that I wanted to raise would relate to the issue of the department not including all the schools in the initial business case. I don't know why those seven provinces were left out. If it's a question of capacity, why can't we intervene as the department? Maybe just to request for the Department of Education to give us clarity on why did it choose only a few schools to be catered for in the 2014-2016 business case. Person, I think maybe I should leave there. I want to agree with Selfie when they talk about the National Broadband Company, because I think that it will ensure that all of us, irrespective of where we are able to reach we are able to access that important things. And then the other point that I think also should be prioritized is the issue of the proposal that was raised earlier that said we have to diversify. I want to support it, the diversification and allowing flexibility in the rollout based on the circumstances in the different areas where we are implementing the program. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Gordon. Honorable Gordon. Can you switch on your mic? Maybe the excitement of going home. I will start with a minor, mostly covered by the former speaker, but there are some questions that I would like more special on FinTech. FinTech spoke about VSET that they are giving schools, of which I'm happy to know devices. But the thing is, those kids that the schools are complaining, they are unreliable. They lose connectivity. And then, especially in rural areas, most rural areas in Kalahari, how can you improve to be more reliable? And number two, on speaker,
most of the former colleagues that mentioned it. Sister, it seems as if your focus is just in West Cape, and then at the end, other provinces should come and land in Western Cape. Why don't you spread your services to other provinces equally? And do you run away to from those that are rural areas, or is it because Western Cape is less rural or not rural at all? So my plea is that the services should be spread across the provinces. There should be no, we should not be biased. Vodacom, you spoke about three reps to school. I don't know whether they're schools, but three school reps to be trained on hardware installation and safety service troubleshooting. How are you going to choose those children? Are they going to be educators who are in class, or you are going to appoint, or who will appoint the tech supporters and so on, because I'm sure that's why we have these challenges. It's because we sometimes start with rolling out the equipment, then thereafter we come in training. And I promise that's why the principals are always having problems, and they just equipment and store the money until you come in your training. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Honorable
Thank you very much. Perhaps I should have thanks on our president that I may not fully understand what's been presented here, because I'm a BBT generation. And of course, being the first meeting of its kind, I may also be a chairperson because of repeating myself, repeating what my colleagues have said already. You forgive. Like, for instance, what has run as a common thread, chairperson, is this lack of coordination among different stakeholders, and also between the two departments. For instance, the Department of Best Education, right from 2004, in its policy goals, put it clearly that by 2013, all learners in secondary schools, primary schools, must be ICT capable. Now, I mean, here, this goal being emphasized by the different stakeholders. It's now 2014, and we haven't reached that goal. Perhaps you could hear from the presenters how the committee does this goal, coming from the Department of Education. And secondly, Chairperson, as I listened carefully to the presenters when they were mentioning, when they were telling us about the good story of delivery, then I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I'm coming from Kanyamude, and tomorrow I just wish to go and see those schools which have been applied by computers and what else, and things like that. I'm repeating what my colleagues said, that would be happier, we are happy, but would be happier if we were given the names of schools
and the places where these have been delivered. So I wanted to have as members whether those projects have been sustained or not, so that you get a feedback from us. And lastly, Chair, distribution of computers and come again? To teachers especially. You know, I'm sure all of us did hear the president in one of his State of the Nation address, Sona, where he made an announcement that all teachers will be surprised by laptops. Now, I don't know how far the different stakeholders responded to this call by the president. If you did respond at all, or you might not have read the announcement, that would be forgiven if you did have it. But if you did, you want, just want to know how far did you respond to that call, because that alone would enhance the delivery of quality education in South Africa, which I guess is equally your concern, that is the delivery of quality of education in our South African schools. I mean, I don't have much, Chair.
Yes, Honourable Member, thanks so much.
I can continue?
No,
you
can.
No. Yes,
yes.
I'm okay.
Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of the questions have already been addressed by the colleagues, but I'd like to address this one specifically to Sentex. In Mpumalanga, there are schools where the dishes have been installed 2 years ago, but they haven't working. I can mention the schools in Mayflower, Mpuluzi, and Reverend S. Agosti. In both Mpuluzi, Sentex, and the other Sentex next to them. They're never with. You can tell us maybe as information for that would appreciate. Also, just as an addition to this, the number of schools that are being sold, mostly they look as if they are more in the areas. I would like to know more or less when do they think they can reach the deep rural areas. You can have a few indications. Because we can see that you are saying year one you do this, year two, year four, etc. But the Western Cape will be completed in 3 years. So can you get an idea more that the other rural schools when the information can take this? Because we come from very deep rural areas and people are looking out there, and when they see some of these things that are happening in town, they think only in town will concentration take place. The other question. Thank you to Vodafone for the teacher center. But if I can get clarity, I'm not sure if you say the schools have to pay for their data. I'm not sure if you can clear me on that one. I think the last one, since the world economy is moving in producing smaller devices, wouldn't it be better to do smaller devices to avoid stealing by tax, because I can mention separately, in order to use goods that were installed, which we went to open with my Honourable Chairperson, the tax actually broke the wall and got into the struggle, and then they sold everything that was there. Wouldn't it be better to move to smaller devices so that everybody can have them to avoid stealing? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Honourable Member, I think I haven't left anyone. Okay, another request. Thanks, Chair. I think firstly, the presentation that they continue to reflect the importance of the meeting today and why we needed to share with William Lawazis and just talk about what we are discussing. And there's something because you could pick up inconsistencies. And this is the reflection on GBA and GTS. Because if as drivers of policy are not very clear in what they are doing, what they expect from the sector, you have this consistency that you have been given.
one of those areas just to share quarter is you look at even the certification. Another one is about 20 laptops or 20 computers, the other one says 30, the other one says what is the certification. Others will take the 26 laptops together with the computer and mobile projector, and there's others are just, so that is a problem. Because who deserves to have a particular package and who doesn't deserve to have a particular package? Now, if you start giving, because you went after one day with two schools next to each other with different infrastructure. But if the service provider goes with this particular package and the other one goes with this particular package, it's a problem. So we need to get back as just an understanding. But one of the problems I have here, or one of my concerns, is we're behaving as if we are just a team. You see, this thing started with the PAC school initiatives in 2004. So I accepted from the Department of CTPS to start there. This is where we started. But because you can't give us now as if we just started last year. None of us here has either secluded or exist for a year. We've existed. And we're talking 20 years down the line of democracy. And we could have started at a particular time, but we don't have the ambassadors that we've spoken about this yet. And this has really reflected on the pastor's role to be able to be very clear in what is expected as well. Well, if you say to Kassar, this is what we expect from everybody else, and the complaints that come across that we are not very clear, and you say to us, we could have from DTS and DDE had a similar mission like this and clarified some of these issues. You are not sitting, I'm not sure how many schools are connected to quite show you. The figures are just everywhere. If you are saying we are doing overtime, I can say from the presentations today, overall this is what, how many schools have been collected. But I don't think DBE was able to give us that number. Because as DBE was presenting, was talking about Vodafone and when teachers are, we are partnered with DBE, this is the work that does. It's not very clear. And then CCS as well speak about the number of schools in the day. What about the rest? Who is supposed to say this is what we should say here? And colleagues, just to say, you see, there are reports, and I've always wanted entities that come before the committee. There's what we call the committee report. We go back to those reports. We look at what we have spent to do this year. And we compare. For example, sentences does not say anything about their connection, but our report tells us that they've spoken about connection into schools. So we are asking ourselves, is it deliberate commission or those who are no longer connected? But I thought DDLs would come and say, because the lifespan of this equipment is this particular time frame, 5 years. This is a thing, because we can talk about connectivity and have connected 1,000 schools. 2 years down the line, are those schools still connected? The lifespan of those equipment that are there and the facility, is it still within what we call connectivity? So these are the things that you need to be able to respond to. Legislation, ECA, very clear in terms of what is affected from everybody else. Sections and literature about the ECA, none of us have spoken about that. It's not the amendment that we put in now. From the 2005, the issue of APTs has been there. They are regarded as schools because they take up your high schools. So, these are the things because they are, that's why, and this is what he said. We wrote to all stakeholders to say, this is what we expect from you. How about the mandate? What mandate obligation do you have? So, we expect it to reflect in terms of this act, in terms of the service, the license obligation, this is what we've got, we are expected. Then he said, come and tell us which schools, where have you connected? Then lastly, we said to you, tell us your plans for the future. Because we want to say where we are teaching. This is what we are anticipating to have. If, in terms of all of the people who are sitting around the table who want to connect, we are going to have shortage of 5,000 schools not engaged to connect. What is the plan? How do we address that? As an inspector department. And as a teacher, we want to know how many have been collected, how many are still going to be collected, and what becomes the gap and by when. Because this is what we are expecting to be able to look at. So it makes my life and our life as members of this committee difficult. And I would be harder on the department because I understand that they are policy holders. They're supposed to drive the sector. If departments are not very clear, the sector will look disorganized. Everybody will do their best in terms of their understanding of what is expected of them. And we can't blame those who are strong. Because if we are not very clear from our part, as policy holders, makers, and policy holders, and people who are responsible, we would not be able to achieve anything. We'll come down the line 5 years again, new terms, start, six parliaments will have the same questions that we are having. And that's what I want to achieve. And that's what we call the business, because you want tangible things, you want clear information. And we are requesting the department to assist us in this regard. Chairperson, I'm also sure because I think it's going to be important that we get, you know, what members are saying. Let that happen. Tell us that the school, no, I'll make it a couple of my questions, and I have 8 high schools and 7 primary schools. I've asked my administrator to do an analysis of those schools. All of them have equipment, computers. None of them have ever been collected. In 7 primary and 8 high schools, none collection. Not in a single day that been collected. There's next to that, it's almost a year. Nothing has happened. And the question I ask myself, how many other schools across the country are in the similar situation? And this is why I expected from TCE to say, in provinces, this is what this province is doing. For example, housing has this school connectivity, I don't know what they call it, connect, school connect or something like that. Then you have this age, they have their own. So that give us in those provinces, this is what this province is doing. Because it's not the service providers that are here that are only doing connection. The provinces themselves have taken that as human responsibility. And if this is not respected, we are not able to say, this is where we are sitting. So for me, I would like a situation where we are saying, 1,000 schools have been connected, we are left with 500, 20 will be connected next year. So if at this time, when you break down the 2020, would have achieved 100% connectivity. Because this is what we want to see. But secondly, when listening to Ikaba's presentation, they say, no, the obligations on providers is that they will connect this number of schools. And among those is schools with special needs. But does it mean that anyone can say that out of this, I can connect one school? Because Ikaka was not very clear. Any operator decide on his own. Because some of them said, no, we've done our part. We've met out of that number we have done the connection of this school. Then who does the other? You know, this is, we need to get to a point where we are very clear. This one is done by this one, this one is done by this one, this one is done by this one. And if you ask, do you have a mandate in quality? Is there a mandate? Yes. This is what we are required to do. But does it mean, because it doesn't necessarily mean that if you cannot say 1,500 would agree, we might have a different view. But those other schools that are left, who is supposed to correct? If others have still, like, huge areas, shouldn't we say to operators, okay, we have 1,500, can we add maybe 20 into that? But is it what is affordable and what cost? Because again, what I have a problem because I want to say over 5 years. It means an operator can decide not to connect first year, second year, third year, and connect on the 15th. They would have met the license obligation. Does it assist the country? What you want to achieve, it doesn't. It's the head. So the license obligations need to be very clear. It can't be as broad as like that. there, and lack of understanding of what you want to do. And you could see, and I really appreciate the honesty that the presentation came through with, because they assist you to identify where the problem is, so that you can deal with the problem and be able to move on and do other things. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Kubani. One thing that I would like to throw again to all the presentations that have been made. Yes, we applaud the work that you have done. We are not sure yet, as to say how many schools have been connected or have been giving them the guidance that has been mentioned. But maybe the people who are going to the DVE, after the installation, the connectivity or whatever, who is left with an obligation to maintain, to make sure that these badges are functioning? Or we can run them from the presentation by your home. They talked of increasing the 50%, some of the schools cannot even afford to pay according to the increasing. And what does that mean? It means nothing is happening. So maybe UDBE, what budget do you have to pay in the future? We are talking of these connectivity, we are talking of these gadgets. How are they going to make sure that the whole process continues and it's being well looked after? And also the content, the issue of content, of which I think DVD should play a very important role when it comes to that. I'm worried if from your presentation and the presentation that you get from the website program, we are not even concerned as to say this is what the content is, the various references. For me, then the question is say, what is it again that you are talking about when it comes to the issue of connectivity? I know you already talk of your cloud, but what is happening around them? Are we seeing these schools making use of what you have? The content, the challenges of shortage of skills teachers like in mental science, what is it, how are we making use of the whole program that you say? So what is it, what is your part of the shared learning? But to most it has meant, who's representatives and how's your organization, you're looking at DTPS. To both DTPS and DBE, really, I think we'd love to see the monitoring program that you have on this program. It's quite disappointing because for me, both departments cannot say exactly what is happening down there, what work has been done. We know the obligations that the stakeholders are coming with, how quality provisions and measures well attached to. But for me, both departments are really, can you see your plan, can you see your strategy to say how do we intend to monitor the whole program, how, because at the end you are the one that are that you are accountable, will be coming to you to say what is the best happening. And maybe share, it's not the last time that you have such a team. I think that was this just the start, that there's so much that we need to look at, starting from our own department, so that as you go out, you know exactly what it is that you expect. But for now, let me ask how many foundations are here. But I do think all the stakeholders that you hear are going to be responding. But I would like by the department to respond to some of the questions that have been raised. Then I will give a chance to each and every stakeholder, if ever there is a question that was put to you or you wish to amend your case, again, we'll be giving a chance, but briefly so no one is forgetting what I'm doing in the response that you have been expecting. Let me start with TV. Oh, it's fine. I'll let start with TV. Though they are the host with the news, but I'll then go to the TV.
Thanks, Jefferson. I'll start with the issue of the coordination in general. You know, to give us time to respond to that. In terms of the ECE, Electronic Communications Act, of course, the Department of Telecommunications and Postal, is responsible for ICT connectivity for the infrastructure in the state. And also the EC is very clear that we have to provide that the universal service, no one should have access to that. What we've already indicated in the presentation, which talks to the of communication is not going to be one in the social person raised going back in terms of food connecting previously, and since I that the approach was in the family, and that's what we're trying to do now, try to streamline the process. Previously, the focus was more connectivity, and hence, if one doesn't look at the entire chain, one will provide connectivity only in that city. And one goes and provides the devices in the school, the devices that your age, and then there's no connectivity. And also that, not necessarily being done by people within the community, it is also done by private companies which are authentic, or you know, record of that as well. Hence, we are asking now the view, the approach that we have to look at the entire daily chain, because if the training is not there, even if we provide connectivity and devices, it won't be used. If the content is not there, it won't be used. And the focus now in the end is because there's a close collaboration between ourselves and the Department of Basic Education to think that although our mandate focuses on the ICT infrastructure and services, the issue around content, application, and also training is very important. So that we are aligned also in terms of what needs to be done, also in terms of the timing of all these provisions. Because it's not a sequential basis, but we have to focus in the in similar geographic areas. Hence, if we don't do that, it will also run to the issue of overlap and duplication, which is also currently happening. And we are reviewing the way of the model of coordination, where we initially everyone was just focused on each of the elements, just network and services or on devices. And we, during the pilot that we had in Telcom, the one organization, and it's also what is happening now with the Universal Service Obligation, an NCC or an organization will focus on the entire organization, Telcom, network coordination up to 20. At least you will achieve a level of coordination, but you still run a scope of coordination. Also, how do you speed up the rollout? And also make sure that we achieve the targets that are set out in the policy in a much faster way. So we are looking at how we ensure that in our coordination, even from the initial plan, we are able to restrict, not necessarily restrict, but able to confine the different role players into the areas where they have the capacity and the expertise as well. Because having all the different entities, the responsibility to provide everything for the value chain. Connectivity is what they normally do, it's part of the competence. But training us, if those three teachers were trained in a particular area, it's no longer part, it's not from their core responsibility. So hence, it's important that between our certain areas, but in our case, education, we are able to find that alignment. But also, in terms of the issue of the specification, called upon the model, that was also one of the concerns that the different models and the attempt to try and streamline that. And the forum of the deputy minister came up with a specification which was about the 26 laptops or tablets, depending on what is appropriate by the different service providers. And that has been used during the FIFA legacy project. They also moved into the universal service obligations, what is established inherently in those obligations. So they are able to try to do that. There's a lot of work in terms of that coordination that we are, and there's a lot of engagement between ourselves and the Department of Education. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next
one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, the Deputy Minister left and honorable member. I'm going to choose a shorter route in the interest of time. I don't think it's feasible to respond to all of these questions here. But first, to honestly add my voice in appreciating the value of the meeting. In my view, it's long overdue. And my suggestion would be you have a meeting of this nature minimum maybe twice a year. Beginning of the cycle to look at whether we planned as the role players, the stakeholders that are working together, and towards the end of the cycle to look at whether we delivered in terms of what and the things that we had planned for. I want to acknowledge that indeed the observations made are indeed spot on. In terms of coordination, even if were trying to coordinate activities, I think can do much better than, you know, we have done. Secondly, I think honorable members referred to a team monitor and so on. I also fully acknowledge and appreciate that indeed that is true. Just to indicate that from the level of the education, the technical link has reprioritized the area to the extent that the technical link has established a subcommittee which is going to drive this exercise. Our technical MINMEC is called the HECOM. And then the MINMEC, he as Council of Education Minister, has also assigned the Deputy Minister of Basic Education and the MEC from Kalde as two champions to lead this exercise. We are convening a workshop in November, which will be facilitated by World Bank. We're going to work together. For me, the core team in getting this work done is indeed the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services, TDE, and I think ICASA. Those are core to the entire team. And for me, in resolving all the problems, it would actually be presenting one plan, which reflects on the deliverables of all role players, instead of coming from different angles as we did. That is the kind of way forward that I think I would like to share. But safe to say that when it comes to, because there was an issue about the number of schools, just to say that maybe we can provide that information, but the official data is that we have 24,136 schools. We used to have 26, and they reduce every year because some of the schools, they get closed and edged because they are no more viable. So the number of schools that we have officially is 24,136 public schools, and the number of independent schools that we have is 1,584. So progress in connectivity will have to be measured against the total number of those schools. And maybe just to also indicate that when it comes, because you raised the issue around that, the priority was around the 500 schools of Dinaledi, but we didn't cover all 500 of them. And we can even show performance of those schools that benefited from the rollout of ICT compared to other schools that are not covered. And I think one provider referred even to Free State. We went to Free State and measured the impact of connectivity vis-à-vis learner performance. And the last point that I want to make is that we all know about the report that is generated basically every year by the World Economic Forum. The issue is using ICT for innovation to enhance performance in math, science, and technology. Now, every year when that report is released, we lose sight of the fact that, as Honorable Kubai said, it's also a reflection on us, all of us. It's not only a reflection of education in terms of learning outcomes, because it's about using ICT for innovation to improve performance in medical technology. I thought, President, those are the few points that I should touch, just to say I accept fully, take full responsibility that you're not delivering in terms of your expectations because you have not done really what you expected to do. And I can assure you that come next time, we'll surely make sure that we meet your expectations.
Thank you, Mr. Mwangi. Can I check from our stakeholders that I said how many of you want to respond to say something around the questions and discussions that have been made? Then Colm, Peter, or Stenheck. Okay. Let us start with Telcom. Or even go to let us start with Telcom, then Stentech, then okay. What are called Ikaza, Stentech, Sister,
not just this is care concern. And what else?
So we are allowed to then at the center.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for honorable members for the engagement and question breaks. Okay. Gentlemen, yes, I think you highlighted that including the gather from our presentation, the total number of schools for the school would have left there. But I cannot agree more with the media than the coordinated and integrated approach to school connectivity. I think it's also a long way in closing the gap identified. So one feels that the consolidation of national programs with assignments from the villages will definitely help, you know, to be able to have a particular indication of progress made and monitor on an ongoing basis. As you have mentioned, the number of schools that are connected to the actual health, total of 174, they included in optimization, but perhaps not summarized in the way that you could, you know, get out of fairly easily. We have 116 schools connected to the Department of Education, 58 schools connected to our CFI interventions. And then there was a question raised by Honorable Madam Swan related to the ability and availability of the research service. Yet in some cases we do get requested from our users out there, particularly in instances where they want to download high content files that, you know, they use to connect to the internet. And it is for that particular reason that we are looking at a much more, you know, high strategy technology. I'm going to use a platform in my presentation to try and improve capacity and availability of those particular services. So that I talked about the trial that we just concluded, so going forward. In our presentation, I talked about a technology that we are testing, which is promising efficiency and much more improved bandwidth. So that will solve the problem of bandwidth congestion going. Implementation of that will start in the current year. We anticipate November. The technology has been tested fully, and we are working on the modalities of introducing that. Honorable RJ also raised a concern related to two schools in Mpumalanga province, three schools in Mpumalanga province, made by oncology and other students. Yes, I think we do acknowledge concerns in our first-hand information is that there were service agreement challenges with those schools. However, like to be given an opportunity to go and investigate how we can foster and enable connectivity with those three schools. And we'll bring back a formal response after the investigation. Thank you.
Thank you, Sir President. We like to thank the two departments and UTASA and the operators for their cooperation with this project. But also we'd like to say to the two departments and UTASA, our negotiations and conversations have got to be stronger now, because today has shown that there are still gaps that we still need to fill. I will ask the CEO to respond to some of the questions.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Lambert. The one question that was posed about new application to other licenses, especially at conversion, there were roughly about, as Councillor Lambert has indicated, there were roughly about the number of internet service providers that got converted into ECL and ECNS licenses. The type of licenses that could be given obligations are in relation to acquisition of spectrum, or new acquisition of spectrum.
purely because at the time of the conversion, we didn't impose obligation on the acquisition of the license. Now, what has happened, Honorable Chair, is that the obligations that we're talking about, that were been provided by the committee to respond to, are obligations that were imposed on licensees as a result of either acquiring a license or acquiring spectra. It's different, that's why the fact is different in the quality specification between license obligation to a school and what operators do on CSR. We have not specified the how they should carry out their CSR. And I think what the sentence happened today is that CSR and license obligation was conflated. The second issue is that we have this, we have started with a review of universal rights obligation. That review will be drafting a proposal which will be published on the 31st of October. It's already in process. It involves engaging totality of operators. But what I must just happen to also add that will be important is that the CASA last month published what we call the ILC roadmap, which is essentially all the spectra that's going to be available for your rollout of broadband infrastructure. And as a following that, we will possibly have an engagement between ourselves and the Department of Communication of Telecommunications and Postal Services. We will then prepare to issue high demand spectrum. High demand spectrum will be issued with obligations, which is essentially covering obligations, focusing on schools, starting in rural areas and coming to major cities. What has happened previously is that we tended to left operators to their own devices. They started out in Gauteng and in Western Cape and then went to the outlying provinces. And in that process, rural areas tended to be left behind. Some of the things that we're considering today is that we have to focus on rural coverage first and then cover the existing major metropolitan area. The schools that have been allocated, there are 1,050 schools that are allocated for rollout every year. They have to be rolled out every year. It's not that they don't have a choice to wait for 5 years or for 2 years in order to roll out. They have to be delivered 10 years, and if they are not delivered 10 years, then there are penalties involved. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the allocation that has been given to operate at present for the rollout of school connectivity has been discussed with the Department of Education. It's actually rural schools. It's not schools and all. Those, all that 4,500 schools are rural schools. So that's the specific focus. The schools of people with disabilities are included in that. They are allocated at the school to the operator for the rollout. The last comment here, we are going to really address the comments of the chief counsel and the uncoordinated perspective. Our view is that to a certain extent this discussion has held a lot because we have got different perspectives. Our approach to school connectivity tends to be distant. I think it's valid that argument that you can focus on laptops, but laptops then get locked out of being at school. There's nothing that after happens outside of school. Then how do we address that distant? Because if operators are able to continue to create or to roll out because there's a demand that has been created by focusing on schools. Some of the things, if I may be honorable chair, just in case, that are necessary for us to do. The first and all those sort of things happen because we have not created the critical mass to deter that. If there's a strategy, then there's an encouragement of theft and
The reality is there's no way that there would be a demand for stop and go, for stop and alert and that sort of thing. So that critical mass can be created in that way. It is that perspective that all of us need to get around to discuss it, let alone the approaches on network rollouts. Because operators, it really gives me that there's still an argument that you roll out schools for a connected school and then you decide somewhere that you can't maintain it. For me, that doesn't make sense. Who do you want to maintain it? There is a natural coverage that you actually created in a particular school. It's totally unacceptable that approach from the operators. I must have to ask that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I was just about to stop you saying that, you know, even the way you are responding, all of us, I think the topic that you are dealing with is closer to our hearts, and I really compare with people that say we still meet every day, we'll discuss this issue, because today I know what we just said. I think that my session will be arranged. Can I then go to the two to see?
Honourable Chair, I think I just want to address one matter that was raised by one of the honourable members that relates to the work that we do with provinces on the issue of broadband and where other provinces are in relation to the example that the CEO gave in the presentation on Western Cape. We are working with all the different provinces and they are at different levels in terms of where they are on their rollout of broadband. I think honourable members would recall that early last year the Western Cape started the process before many provinces did so, and because there was an issue of the CETA Act having not been followed by the province, we had to step in and stop that process, and basically the province we had to start the process from the scratch, and out of that process we entered into a partnership with the province and we dedicated a team that is working together with the province to roll out the programs. Similarly, in Gauteng is already in a number of ways in the rollout of the program because they have started earlier. Are already advanced, although in the presentation, as you saw even the examples that we gave, we're not in the presentation, we're not able to pull out in terms of statistics where they are. But we are aware from our own engagement with the Gauteng province, as well as with Tswane municipalities, because some of the metropolitans are also rolling broadband in their own metropoles, as well as because the program that we are working with the provincial governments. We are engaging at different levels already with KwaZulu-Natal, which also is preparing to roll out its own strategy. The Free State, we have already had a number of engagements in terms of their own rollout of the broadband. Similarly, Mpumalanga, which has started working with broadband in Franco, we've been called in into that process. So the broadband rollout is a national program that is running at different provinces. We have, for the benefit of the country, I think from where it is, the support that I think this process will require is coordination again. We've raised this issue with the minister, and I believe the priority that the ministry is looking at in terms of the coordination of the rollout by provinces and municipalities of broadband throughout the provinces, which CETA is supporting. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was all for tonight. Your session?
Thank you, Chairman. I think we also want to reiterate the around the issue of coordination, and we welcome and appreciate it. But just to give a few points of clarity, Honourable Shin had mentioned, want to clarify on exactly how many schools we were going. It is 15. In the ABC, it was about 10 of the able bodies and 5 of the labor, so it is a total of 15. There's no disjunctive there. And Honourable Shin had also spoken to, the number, the huge number in the environment. if you look at slide 6 that we were referring to, in fact, the majority have gone to the Eastern Cape. So we do deal with rural communities that all come through that area. If one looks at the first slide that we're looking at access gap model that we use to assess where we go, it specifically enables us to identify those areas where infrastructure, whether it be from a backbone and an access network or all the way to facilities, those that have the greatest deficits are the ones that we prioritize. And the recent access gap analysis that was done last year, it indicates that there are 7 provinces that are in dire need of assistance. Eastern Cape is one of the 3 states, the 4 for North West Northern Cape. That's why we see all our projects being skewed towards those particular provinces. But also lastly, to indicate to the Honourable Chair, I think a point that we didn't put forward quite bluntly, if you look at our numbers, they're very small compared to the need. And that is a consequence of the budget that we've got. Now, we need support to secure additional funds, and that's what we're able. So we can have the plans, we can all sit here and have the plans, but if they're not funded, they are for naught. Thank you.
Thank you. I just make sure that your Chairperson doesn't hear that. That's fine, yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we really appreciate the discussion. It's really helpful in terms of making sure that we share knowledge and we get more information from other people. And also from local point of view, Chair, we really appreciate and say this is long overdue. The two issues, Chair, that I wanted to raise is that we are indeed committed, Chair. And I think from the operator's point of view, the fact that there's an attempt that we have made in the midst of uncoordinated kind of arrangement, there's something that we've put on the table. And I want to put that on the court, Chair, that we are committed to this project. For example, from the Qualcomm point of view, we ended up having 8 project officers. Siabudra, for example, next to me, is responsible for this project. Day to day, he's in provinces, he's in districts, he's in municipalities. He lives, he breathes this project. That's how committed we are in terms of the demonstration of resources we're put into it. The second issue, Chair, that we wanted to just to outline is the fact that our training education centers, for example, one of it, we refuse to take it to the center. In fact, it must go to SESPRED. And somebody that has gone to SESPRED will know what it means when you talk about the rural area. So amongst our own training centers, which for example covers 100 schools around that vicinity, you know, it's at that training center which covers those training centers. And I think this forum, Chairperson, I agree with everybody, it must also reflect accountability so that we can give account. As for example, my CEO just SMS now said that what we need to do, we need also, even after this session, is to submit the list of schools to the Chairperson. No, to the Chairperson, both of them. The list of schools, according to the neighborhood of schools, according to the districts, according to the provinces, very detailed, to which we are committing Chairperson that from what a point of view was made so that it demonstrates to members of the portfolio committee, even before it is a code recess, these are the schools that so far for our committee connected today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the time. You know what, next week, our committee presentation will be in SESPRED and will be in touch with you because we'll make sure that in our program we do this to 7,000 veterans about that commitment is that you are making. Otherwise, thank you very much. I will then hand over to the Chairperson, to my co-chair, to just talk up. But before I do that, Chair, I know another member, we couldn't take the second one due to time constraints. But I can see Honourable Killian banning, if ever it's a banning issue, I can't allow you to ban alone. Can we share that to the heat?
Look, Chair, actually, just with reference to slide 6, it's just coincidence that it is you start on slide 6, but it is also, actually, I'm first authentic slide 6. So it was not with reference to you, it was actually with reference to authentic.
I questioned reference to the USASA institution, and I was, you know, just asking for an explanation why some provinces, which are deep rural provinces, seem to have had fewer USASA institutions. So I just questioned that. Thank you, Chair.
It's fine, honourable member. What you do can just allow an opportunity of networking as you move out of this door. Definitely, you can have a come to you, get closer. Not that you're not in the set to hear a response, but please, can you do that? I know there are a lot of questions that I will not be able to respond to. If everyone finishes to talk about even on giving a response, that would be fine. But can I just advocate you for now? Let us not go to that. Can we not have to that?
I think I need to indicate that education has been put as number one priority for this country since 2009. And we have obligations, we have responsibility to the South African children, all of us are sitting here, to build a better future for them, build a better nation. And that following from the money given to us by the president who actually declared education as number one. So more than being licensed obligation, more than being statutory obligation, it must be an obligation to do well for our country in building a better nation, because that's what we need to do. In all our responsibilities, that's what we need to be able to defend. So we need to, I'm really calling for the support of what our president has regarding the number one priority. So if you go back, look at what we are doing. What we know, because we've seen presentations here, we've had other speak. We've been able, individually, we can do introspection as entities, as companies, for instance, to look at the gaps and start closing those gaps, to be able to help in building a better South Africa for all our children. And just looking at the DG of basic education was saying, so I'm going to refer to that DDE and DGPS. They must report to both the committees by end of November. In written comments, a detailed report, which school, the name of the school, where it is, who connected, and which date was it connected, and the type of question that it was. Yeah. So we want that change. You say this is what has been done, a list of them. All of them. Secondly is to say these are the plans, so this is what we have asked. These are the plans. If we say NTN is planning to connect 1,500 schools, where are we connecting them? And why is it that we are doing there, this place, and by when? Because we need to start thinking, are there gaps in connecting schools? And how are we going to address that? We can't be able to do that without this information. But I would appeal for this department as well. It can't be that you wait for us to call all the people. You have it. You have a mandate, or you are failing in your obligation. You need to call, you need to make sure that you interact with the stakeholders, they understand what is expected from government, and you clarify the issues. Then I would discuss. So that when we come here next time, there must be seamless understanding of what we are doing and where we are going. That would really appreciate that. That information in terms of putting together the consolidated with one example. So you are literally having to move forward sooner to put it together. Sufficient time for that, because we want to pay as well, because we do oversize as in the communication and like education. When we go, this is part of what we want to get. We would not at times announce where we are going. We want to say when we are within a vicinity, we can request a mission from many to say we want to get into that student and just see what is happening. So that information must be within our hands. But that should be able to assist even for the planning chapter. When we go to budget for the next year, we must be able to say what is it that we are talking about in terms of collectivity. So that if 8,000 comes and says we are still going to collect 14 schools, you can say, what happens to the rest of the schools? But you can't evaluate targets when you don't have this time, that is very clear. So you've got to be able to put your best answer, but this is where we are looking from, this is where we are going. But what I would want them to address as well as co-chair is, and it's something that we're going to do, the issue of intolerance of this country, the issue of the equity. Because within the specifications that you're dealing with, you can't just say deliver 20, laptop, deliver, connect, and all that. Who carries the responsibility of insurance? Who carries the responsibility? Because this is what you must clarify in the second of everybody else in the chain. When you have a chain, DDG, in that chain, who does what? So that they're very clear from the side so that we know this responsibility belongs to this one, we can hold that person accountable for it. If the service provider or the operator that is responsible to say, when you provide the gadget, you must ensure it. You must be able to hold that operator accountable. But at this point in time, I couldn't sense that clarity. So we require that information. And once you put together, reassess the criteria, what is connection, how, if we're talking about gadgets, what and what, and the figures, all of these things, clarify the level of connectivity. And that's what I think my coach says. It doesn't help to connect when it takes an hour to get into a website. So high speed connection for these kids to be able to access the website in time, available, is really important. So these are the things that we expect the departments to go back, sit together, work on, and assist us. Then we'll be able to say, at this time, then, when we come to the next city, because we want to do our own analysis so that when we call everybody, we now call those, we can't call everybody to come and do the same thing here. We must move into a certain level now. To say, we moved from here, now we are here, and this is where we are going. So, in those few ways, Coach Alison, I really want to appreciate the time the colleagues have been here, that has been given. I would not mention their names in terms of the delegations that have been there as entities, as operators. We really appreciate it. Don't take your time for granted. And I hope you found very enriching here and engaging with us today. Because for us, it's to make sure that all of us have an understanding, the same understanding, but at least we can operate in one understanding of what we need to do. And we hope continuously when we call you, we'll be more than willing to come and invite you to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. The day was fruitful and successful.